Hello, everybody. Welcome back to 17 Karat K-Pop and my special monthly roundup of the best new music from K-pop, C-pop, J-pop artists, etc. Usual disclaimer at the beginning here. Remember, I listen to literally hundreds of new releases every single month. So to narrow it down to 20, always a monumental task. And I try to keep my objective music critic hat on when I do it. So I take it super seriously. It's never a personal diss toward anybody. Don't think I'm coming for your favor or whatever. Try and just be an objective music critic here. So these are not my picks for just my favorites. These are my objective, as much as I can be, choices of what stood out to me in the sea of videos and songs I checked out. So sorry if your fave did not make the cut. And stay tuned because at the end, I have a lengthy honorable mention segment. If your fave doesn't get the cut in the top 20, hang in there, they might still be in this episode. With that out of the way, let's start the countdown. Here is number 20 best release of February 2024. Daichi Mura, Over. This requires patience. It ages really well. You just have to give it time. It's an album that appeals not for the instant grabbing your attention details, but just with time, you realize it actually is quite well done. These pop songs have a lot to them. Tonal changes, pacing changes, overall just vibe changes. Pixelated World, perfect example. The video seems boring. People in plain outfits in a plain room dancing. But no, it picks up the pace. It changes its mood entirely. The dancers do what they have to do, emotionally leaving an impact. It just takes a while to go from a low simmer to a full boil. Nodo might be my favorite. It sounds like an Even song. Kind of sounds like Ugly by Even. There's more of a classic club vibe to Tsukinadake. Others have more eccentric directions. The best, I would say, though, besides Nodo, Lightspeed or Everything I Am. Number 19. Lim Kim, Ult. This song and video really captivated me. The swords, the big formations, the group choreography is just so can't look away material. Such cool fluid transitions and use of swords. They look beyond fierce, so powerful, just like her commanding presence as she sings. The only downside is how short it is, but then again, that makes you want to hit rewind more, so that's not bad. They also just set the scene well. It just feels suspenseful, like something big is happening with the glowing sun, the lighting, the silhouette. Really well done. Number 18. I and I, Match Up. First of all, really clever marketing, like a matching game, with the highlight medley duality. One highlight medley focused on the rap parts of songs, one focused on the vocal part. So in isolation, you got two different tastes of what the full thing would sound like. So you listen to it for the first time three times. You listen to the songs rap-wise, vocal-wise, then when they came together and combined those, and then some. I also got this mixed bag feel to this, with the songs themselves, kind of a bit like NMIXX's style, the mixed pop, the abrupt pivot to a different song that's like shoved in the middle of another song. That sort of listening experience is on Legit, which is also kind of Tantara by Icon-esque. Anyway, cool change up in the bridge. Also one of the more unique vibes is to Dirty Shoe Swag. Lots of old school hip-hop influences were clear. First-gen K-pop stuff. Number 17. Say the name, 17. From 20, Demon. You're probably tired at this point if you're a long-time listener of me talking about this artist, but I just adore every song he's released so far. He's so good at this. He's really just in his synth-pop sweet spot all the time. This release really is better than usual even. Like, it just feels more natural. He's not imitating as much. He doesn't have to channel as much as he used to. He's finding his own inner rockstar essence to pull out. Love him just rocking out, but he also gets very steamy. He does cool smooth moves as just like a cowboy silhouette. But then again, he has black wings, so it's like he's Icarus meets Michael Jackson meets a cowboy. There's a lot going on, from the club to the Wild West to the open mic night. He somehow keeps it all aesthetically not too inconsistent. The song itself, too, is just so memorable. Great bass line, catchy whistles post-chorus, the way he is his own feature. Like, he didn't need a feature artist. He became his own announcer voice in the bridge. He became his own backup voice with that faded voice layer behind his own at the end. A very full song. Number 16. Tribe Diamond. A welcome return to the Afrobeats inspiration of some of their previous work, and a nice optimistic message in two different ways. So Diamond is about, you know, the pressure that makes diamonds. So these tough times we will come out of stronger and brighter. Then the B-side Run is about you can do it, the sky's the limit, dream endlessly, let's embrace the unknown future, see possibilities there rather than things to worry about. Great messages and great camaraderie too. Like, they're not just about shining, but shining together. They have a lot of platonic affection throughout the video. Diamond the video also stands out with the choreography. Shout out to Lady Bounce, the dance crew whose leader worked on this. But also there's the premise they said they were going for as each being a different gemstone that came together to form the same diamond. They also keep things interesting with video scene changes and the mid-video hot pink room. It's a very tribe-y touch to add a big vibrant pop of color. So that nod to past tribe-y, mid, new tribe-y video as they sing about getting better and brighter, that felt very symbolic. Number 15. NCT Wish with the song Wish. I think it is quite smart that they're doing simultaneous Korean and Japanese marketing. So there are Korean and Japanese versions of the song and the B-side and the videos. And you know me and my NCT Universe conspiratorial theorizing about everything to do with the music video, worlds, plural, the parallel dimensions, superpowers, etc. I definitely have tons of those theories in my mind that I'm still working through for NCT Wish's additions to the story. I will save them for a future episode, but just know lots of thoughts and theories here about them as the final puzzle piece on this expedition. I'll share more of my working theories later, but this debut did leave an impact, and I've been really deciphering the Korean and Japanese music video differences, because some broad similarities in their matchmaker Cupid-esque behavior, but also big differences, like in how that behavior is successful or not, do they hit the intended target or not. The meddling is in the Wish Korean video and the Wish Japanese video. The success and forms of that meddling vary widely. Number 14. Ace, My Girl, My Choice. Honestly, these songs kind of seem just generic to me. Not a huge fan. What really won me over was the My Girl video. It's so charming, it's so funny, they are so over the top. They play these Petflix startup founders, so they're so popular. Billboards everywhere, magazine covers, newspaper headlines, etc. Petflix is a smash hit, but they're berated at work. They're viewed as just robot replaceable and scolded and just belittled. So they say, to heck with this, we deserve better, we've given you guys so much success, so many good ideas. So they go to find an ego boost, which means finding their girl. So they just throw out the professional rule book. They're like, if you're not gonna respect us, we're not gonna respect this workplace. So they get covered in confetti, they're slow-mo running and jumping around and feeling free to celebrate themselves. It ends in a funny way. After they break through these letters that said professional, this sign that said professional outside the office, they fly to the sky only for a shoe to drop. Literally, the shoe dropped. The harnesses are made quite noticeable. There's quite a scratch freeze frame. You're wondering how we got here. Feel to it. And they end with the Charles Chaplin quote across the picture of the shoe. That's all any of us are, amateurs. That's the quote. So they had this whole video touting their professional status and their success in the startup world. But then they break through the professional sign, the literal sign. They go on to find true happiness, but they get stuck midair. The shoe falls. We see they feel like imposters, and that's all any of us are, amateurs. It's a really funny plot twisty story. So they never really find their girl. So maybe there's a part two on the way, or they're just gonna focus on this endless quest. After all, they said the central inspiration, the main theme for this comeback is conatus. This term referring to this impulse, this natural way of being, the reason for their existence. So it's not so much a quick attainable goal like startup success could be. It's not quantifiable like that. It just is. It's just an essence of life. So what I love about this comeback overall is that they took some kind of generic pop song, boy band expected stuff and really surprised us with the original video and the humble message. Number 13. DK from Icon, Noxo. A term for doodle or scribble, and the album really does tell a story like it's all a sketch, an outline of what he's trying to recall. So he sets the mood well with the intro Dawn and lyrics about trying to preserve a memory, recall it. And then he moves on like as the narrator telling you, the listener, the story with the singles, talking about a night of partying, seeing this girl. The mood drops, he gets more reflective and solemn with Little Bird, the best B-side. Sick of it all, still in my, about being still in his feels. Then he ends with the song where the title is just question marks and the song genre, wondering like, how do I put a bow on this? Like, how do I end this tale I just told you? Was it even a love song, a goodbye song? What is this? What's the genre? So at one level, this album tells one story incompletely, but at another, it goes full circle. Like, yeah, this is the nature of love. And there's an overall through line with the butterfly symbolism, that of a caged bird, who could fly high but can't. Then he compares this love that left his life as quickly as it beautifully flew into it to a butterfly. The butterfly can fly away, the bird cannot. Very visualization prompting. Stay tuned though, because if you're still unsatisfied and it feels incomplete, he has said this is just a chapter of the story. So part two might just pick up where this left off. And it might have more of a throwback energy to it too, throwback Icon energy, because I mean, this album took contenders from like 3 to 4 years ago that he's been sitting on. So there could be some more past Icon nostalgia incoming. Number 12. Lil League, the Exile Tribe unit, Trickster. They did what the girl group Triple I did recently, which is an odd new trend maybe, but it's interpolating In the Hall of the Mountain King by Edvard Grieg. Not gonna lie, probably one of the bangers of the 1800s. In the Hall of the Mountain King, it goes off. It goes off, I'm glad they used it. Not sure why that's a trend now to interpolate it, but there you go. But anyway, Lily go on quite a quirky adventure in the kooky, colorful carnival video for Lollipop. The Trickster album title, also apt, it's a very mischievous, playful, funny, youthful release. Lots of energy, fast-paced fun. It is hard to take them seriously, like when they say, let me be your bad boy. I mean, your name is Lily, sorry I can't take you seriously. My favorites, I think, are Gateway, OK, and 48 Bars Relay. That one is a really great ending choice. Very explosive. If you want a simpler number, try the piano-based 15 Minutes. But if you like the kookier stuff, try Monster. Great guitar in that one. Phelon could be kind of a distant cousin song for Icon. There's a cool brassy addition to electronic and piano layers, and their voices are kind of volleying back and forth interestingly in tungsten. There's a fun piano as well in Higher. Ultimately, I would sum up their vibe as the J-pop Zykers meets a distant cousin of Icon. So some old school hip-hop energy mixed with this rambunctious branding, this mischievous, cheeky branding. The J-pop Zykers, that's the quickest summary I could make of it. Go check it out. Number 11. Cha Eunwoo, Entity. This release is a bummer, just mood-wise, very sad, reflecting on a breakup, but it has an impressive evolution. So the first two songs seem focused on the past, and that first cut is the deepest feeling of a recent breakup. But with time healing some wounds, he seems to be now just, at least not in the past anymore, but languishing in the present day on the title tracks. Then the album ends with ballads, the guitar ballad You're the Best, the CD-only piano ballad Memories, now moved on to the future, where he's still sad, but he can smile because it happened. He's no longer crying because it's over. So this evolution of his anguish is a natural one, that he has the vocal skill to really bring home. I do think his best song is that title track, Stay. And also just a fun, interesting surprise to see India Isley in it. She must have gotten paid really well, but all she had to do was smile and stare in dramatic ways in several locations. Number 10. Moonbyul, Starlet of Muse. There is so much here. Light and fun, dance pop stuff, slow and dramatic numbers like After Sunset, Like a Fool, Without. Tropical vibes like Nolto, Timeline. I think my favorite, though, are when she gets really dramatic, really extra, confident, and intense. Rockstar material, like Dark Romance and Attention Seeker. When she says stuff like, I don't give a damn, those are my favorite Moonbyul moments. Memories, featuring Wonwi, is a bit of a G-Friend vibe to me. So if you miss G-Friend, try Memories. Moonbyul actually co-composed for the first time with a song she wrote a couple of years ago that she pulled back out for this album, After Sunset. She also tried something new for her with her first solo album English song, Gold. Number 9. Sakurazaka 46. I am so sorry for how I'm about to pronounce this. Ikutsu no Koro ni Modori Taiyanoka, Special Edition. We talked about the song a lot last month. That title track has aged well. The other songs are similar in their messages. Out of all these groups with the AKB48 model, SKE48, NGK46, SNH48, etc., SKZ46 continues to be my favorite. These days they're really just leaving me impressed with their social commentary. There's that state of languishing they sing about in the title track. But the other songs also cover something like love is embarrassing, crushes are embarrassing. One title translates to let the oil out, which is a clever take on like skin oils. When you shed your skin, break out of your shell, you release the oils too. And everyone becomes kind of rusty in life, so time to let out the oil. They pine after a movie-like summer romance. They compare happiness to a shadow play, something fleeting. They sing about kind of resigning themselves to this assumption you won't be interested in them ever. So if you are, come to them, but they're done trying to come to you. So they just have an interesting, very Gen Z attitude, very diary entry type lyrics. Number 8. Cravity, Evershine. They do a nice job mixing it up with EDM, pop rock, classic bubbly pop. Also with times they bring attention to lower and higher register members' voices. So as a team and individually, there's a cool synergy. My favorite track is Mister. To me, what made this release worthy of top 20 status, though, from good to great, was the Lover Die video. Because it did a good job channeling the message, the mood of the song. Not just the fast BPM and stuff, the raps, but the settings, parts of a wall, unfinished, sinkholes in the sand, the crows, the storm clouds. It feels like they're standing in a wasteland, a junkyard, a disaster zone post-wreck, while they sing about this sense of direness, like they'd rather die than not have love. And I just thought that was visually given the sense of precariousness and fear and anticipation that the song warranted. So it really came to life. I also like the detail that they go from black and white outfits to just white ones, then the downpour. So in a moment that could have been a reprieve, nope, then it just rains them out. Pay attention to that. The details in the video that could indicate a silver lining get washed out. Number 7. 10, the self-titled album. He covered quite a range, the rap focus with On 10, but then a Latin vibe to Water, the R&B pop Shadow, which I think is the most smartly arranged, most impressively arranged, like the whispered backup voice kind of keeps interrupting his heavenly voice. It adds this unique texture to it, as do the instruments that make it a mix of chill but kind of still ominous. His voice does a lot of acting on its own here. From chill vibes, smooth as silk, life is great vibes to the more intense songs. And he further really just dives into playing a character with Nightwalker. with a headbang-worthy, fantastic to rock back and forth to, fellow autistic people know what I'm talking about, instrumental for Nightwalker. In that video, he plays this mad scientist who, when the clock strikes midnight, turns into this hypnotizing person. Like, he can hypnotize you at midnight. And he does not have any greater ambition, just power over other people. No greater vision. It honestly feels like quite a premise for a movie or TV show character. He is the Nightwalker when he's not a scientist by day. The video uses outfits and makeup and hair changes, total physical transformations to really channel characters, like the lower lashes longer than the upper ones. Subtle details like that really enhance the fact he's changing roles. If this were to become a show or movie, the fun foil to Ten's main character would be the security guard, who is asleep during this video naturally. During the show, though, he wouldn't always be. I'll workshop this further later. Further attention to detail in how Ten goes in and out of falsettos, covers a vocal tonal range throughout these stories, and the way Dangerous and Water are together on the track list, back to back, and the choreographies take from each other. And he revealed he's actually been preparing this since early 2023. It aged well, his ideas aged well, and I'm so glad he chose Nightwalker. He said it was not the title track choice for a while. They just had to do an actual hand raise vote, and I'm so glad they chose it. Number 6. P1 Harmony, killing it. They really are killing it. They just get better and better. I will link to my full essay about their work in the episode description. So stomp-on ready, very fun. They continue to have just such likability. They ooze likability. They ooze this attention to detail, this knack for on a dime switching, rapping to singing, group stuff to partner stuff to solo moments, throwing surprises at you, ad-lib-wise, sound effect-wise, tempo change-wise. They always just sound like they're having a party, an unpredictable, fast-paced party. It gets slower, but they space out the slow songs, so the party energy never is low for that long. The best song, Countdown to Love, also really into Let Me Love You. Number 5, Taeyeon, Tap. I recently did a whole episode called TY for TY Tracks, like thank you for TY Tracks. That episode I will link to in the description of this one, which covers everything to do with that comeback and puts it into context of how he's going off themes from earlier in his solo career. For the sake of time and wanting to cover new stuff I haven't talked about yet, let's move on. Number 4. Jeff Sutter, Space Shuttle, Number 8. I continue to just adore Jeff Sutter, truly just one of my favorites, favorite soloists no matter what genre, industry, whatever, fantastic voice, fantastic creative visions. He really solidified that view of, gosh, I love this artist, with this album though. Lots of pre-releases, but some new stuff too. The song Almost Over You, I have a feeling will be in my top 5 most played of the year, Spotify Wrapped. Almost Over You has been just my go-to. When in doubt for what to listen to, go back to that beautiful acoustic song that to me has the appeal of Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo. Truly, it has that essence, the pure pain and genuineness of his emotions. Even lyrics about driving now by yourself, dwelling on the road trips you were supposed to have with this loved one. So beautiful, and it was further solidified that this is a great artist in my mind with the Yellow Leaf video, which, long story short, picks up where the Ghost one kind of left off, but just continues to show this cinematic eye for really compelling, ambiguous storytelling. The character roles are muddied, like what's a flashback versus just a different character at a different time? What do different symbols mean? The chronology is scrambled. There's a lot left to decipher, much like there's a lot left unsaid and unclear about the relationship he sings about. So really great job putting people in the center of a never-ending story. He really adds to that sense too with the horseback riding and the old school outfit and stuff. It's like you're watching a historical fiction Netflix show. Number 3. Twice with Youth. As I've said before, they really impress me with the naturalness of their growth, of their maturity. Every era feels like a new and improved, more mature Twice, but still very Twice. That essence has always remained. Like, this very much is not the Twice of the, like, ooh ah days. This is not even the Twice of the Yes or Yes days or something a bit more recent. This is the Twice of today, of 2024. So it's new for them, but it also feels so classically them. The messages about friendship and wholesome adventures together, the cute peppy feel to songs like New New, it's very Twice. But they also try new things. The drum and bass to One Spark, the flirtatious nature of Rush, really just beautiful harmonizing all nine of them on Bloom, very symbolic. In the video, I love, love, love. It has those special details like the Moonlight Sunrise one did where you have to rewatch to catch them. Just very cute extra subtle details. Like in this one, the elevator, instead of saying what floor they're going to, it just says timeless. There's also what I think is a nod to the Romeo and Juliet remake-esque aquarium fish tank scene that they recreated in What is Love. There are other moments too that I think, maybe coincidentally, maybe not, bring back to mind their past videos. But again, it's also new to them. The sophisticated black outfits, the way they dance as a group, they've really just gotten better and better. There's so many little moments too that just remind me this is why they are the most popular girl group next to Blackpink, like in the world. The rainbow lights reflecting off shiny silver surfaces, the impressive amount of outfit changes, the cute throwback video camera footage, video reel mid-video, that nostalgia trigger, the big fireworks finale. They really just have such a show-stopping presence every time. Number 2. Le Sserafim, Easy. Alright, I just did a whole episode about this called Le Sserafim's New Era, where I talk about everything from the poem that inspired this era to the music video details worth flagging. I will link to this episode in the description of this one. But for the sake of time, let's move on and cover the next number on the countdown. Drumroll please for the number 1 best release of February 2024. IU, The Winning. Spoiler alert, I'm actually working on an episode all about IU's discography. There's a lot there. I'll save some of my thoughts about this album and the videos in it for that episode, and my write-up about this top 20. So stay tuned for more. For now, I'll just say I was really impressed with the way she tied together such different stories and showed kind of philosophically how they're all the same story. And she overtly incorporated the word winning into each song. So each one really does go back to the central question, what does winning look like to you? What makes you feel like a winner? And she covers so much with that premise. Like in Halsey, which is Korean for spore, like a dandelion seed, she sings about flying through life like a seed, just wherever the wind goes, being happy, feeling like a winner with nothing. No material things, no set schedule or plan. Then, in Shopper, the win is all the material things. The greediness, the wanting it all. Physical objects, buying stuff. Then there's a total distinction too, because also in Shopper, she's winning, feels like a winner, watching other people win, and gets super happy to find the objects this fairy godmother IU hid in the store. There's another total contrast then with Shush, the song basically where she seems out for revenge. So winning looks like embracing your inner seed, not your inner flower. You can just bloom as a spore, that's okay. Winning looks like satisfying your greed or just not being embarrassed by it. Winning looks like living vicariously through this woman in the position you envy. Or winning looks like love, as she shows in the dystopian video for Love Wins All. Then there's I Stan You, where she sings about don't hide your silly side. You'll always have an audience in me, that kind of thing. So I love that these releases show such different answers to the question, what makes you feel like a winner? But at the same time, they are all about that same bottom line moral of the story, which is, it's so cool how different we all are. How different our likes, dislikes, passions, dreams are. Like, humanity's vibrancy is so cool. Like, it's worth celebrating that we all consider winning to take different forms. So, therefore, when you win, that doesn't mean someone else loses. We can all be winners in our own ways. That's why she sings, like, and I stand you about celebrating your victory. That's what she does in the Shopper video. She also feels like she's won when her love interest wins or feels better in Love Wins All. So plenty of love to go around is kind of how I summarize the message here. And I thought she did a really great job exploring the many facets of that core message. Let's talk about tons of honorable mentions. Judd, J-U-D, Judd First EP. This is a super underrated Chinese artist. She's got an interesting, haunting quality to her voice that goes well both for her original songs on here and with the new stuff for Netflix shows. So OSTs mixed with demos, some dance songs, slow songs, quite a range, a remake, and so much dabbling too, like in psychedelic, electronic tinges in Shall We Stay Together. She really is a talent for storytelling, so I really hope her OST streak continues. DPR Arctic, Kinema, Cinema with a K. I guess he really doesn't like the letter C, because he got rid of it in Cinema, and one of the C's in Arctic. So my autocorrect annoys me to no end, but I digress. Knew I had to check this out when DPR Ian, one of my favorites, I found out he would feature on Do or Die, which is probably the best song on here, but the other best is Escape. This electronic album kind of has the feel of a party that is a chameleonic party throughout the night. He sets that scene pretty well with Ism, which sounds like a bunch of whispered conversations in a crowded party room. The echoey details later on, like the birds chirping and echoing in The Deep, really give it the feel of this is all some big dance floor featuring trippy lucid dream. The Do or Die video has that crowded party feel to it too, with the group choreo, and the way, like at a party or a rave, everyone kind of becomes one organism moving in sync. I also think it's accidentally funny. Don't get me wrong, I do think DJs are really talented, it is an art form, but it is just kind of funny when they do live appearances. They could easily fool me. I have no way to know if they're really, like, playing their instrument, you could say, or if they're just standing there smiling, pretending to push a button or something. But I love that he didn't even do that effort, not even put up a veneer of, I'm really DJing, he just stands there without equipment. I just thought that was a nice, accidentally funny touch. Anyway, Bobby Sir Robert. He is really passionate lately. Like, these raps he's spitting, he really clearly is. He's ready to get the angst out in solo music. Very commanding presence. He really could do a whole screamo rock album. Just a thought for a future era. He never loses steam. Bibi Bamyangang. She always delivers a new, unexpected, but very entertaining music video with her singles. This time's no different. It gives me big Enchanted vibes, like the movie Enchanted. The way she stares into this cauldron of sorts to concoct a magic recipe as her sidekick. On her shoulder is a squirrel. Classic fairy tale-ish setting too, with this little cabin. Then there's Sugar Rush, with another interesting video that's very strange in a good way. The giant bubbles, the overall aesthetic of like a lock screen or a computer screensaver brought to life. And she's got great, also quirky, dinner party guests in Yena and Jun Soyeon. There have been tons of intense, violent, gory, dark, OMG-worthy videos this month. I don't know what it is about the Valentine's Day month, but people were really angsty this month. There was some really unexpectedly just dark, gritty stuff this month. There was Alexis Sick, which started out sounding sweet but then turned sour, because first it was a cute marketing strategy with the love consultation, online submissions and stuff. But then she releases this video that really threw me because it was not a cute playful fight, it was like intense physical, intense fighting. Did not see that coming. Similarly, G-Idol's Revenge video, wowzers, especially with the first-person perspective. Like, as they're beating someone up, it feels like that's you. With the camera angle and the way the eyes open and close on the scene, it's like you are the one in and out of consciousness as they beat you up. It's discombobulating towards you as the target. They really nail it acting-wise, too, portraying these super cold, calculating criminal characters. And Yuki, what a rock star with that room on fire as she's shredding guitar. Similar intensity with Cold Rain. That band released Vengeance, and the video is a lot. A more comical video to check out that's more G-rated. Bombing Tigers video, Noob for an older song, Up. I love this video. And this one is very Tyler the Creator-ish, sporadic pacing, genre mixing, layered voices, like some muttering, some shouting, over and under others. The feeling of a raucous conversation. It's a great video to really get this group's appeal. If you're like, what's with Bombing Tiger? This video is a good summary. The song is very quirky, and the video itself is both kind of social commentary and just plain goofy. Long story short, this guy's like, want to hang out this weekend when these cashiers are done with their shifts. They're in the locker room, and this guy's like, oh, I can't hang out this weekend because I'm going to be with my girlfriend. And he's trying to brag, but the more he talks, the more it feels like he does not have a girlfriend. Too much detail to be true, and he keeps talking unprompted. Like, this colleague is like ready to leave, but this guy won't shut up about how cool he is and his girl. He's trying to feel like his life is more exciting and cool than it is. He gets a big order, a big amount of stuff to scan, and he lives what probably is every cashier's literal nightmare. Someone showing up in the checkout line with a literal mountain of stuff, which he climbs to the sky. Yeah, it gets very off the rails. Really, really entertaining. All right, how about a big lightning round of even more honorable mentions? Nomad finally had their official debut with the self-titled album. They had so many pre-releases, it was about time. Honestly, Lights On should have been this intro lead-in track. It could have really helped generate some sustained excitement at the beginning of the listening experience. Just my take. Yugyeom released Trust Me. Lots of feel-good songs there. Dance is a standout, as is Ponytail still the best, the pre-release from last year. AT's returned with Not Okay, a Japanese single that has a lot of AT's-isms to it. The video also has quite a few AT's-isms, like the way it's like a movie trailer, all the images in rapid succession, the focused AF facial expressions, the group choreography, pops of red in black scenes, mostly black scenes. Very, very 80s. Boy Story released J.I., Please has this rising action feel to it. Could be a distant Stray Kids cousin song. The song Please has a Felix reminiscent deep voice, the feeling of rising action. So that's the best song, but it overall feels like a very juvenile on purpose release. Speaking of youthful, The Wind released Our Youth Teen. Really upbeat, synth-focused fun, lots of chanting, na-na-nas, very cute self-explanatory songs, like called Friendship and Happy B-Day. Ensign went for a similar theme with Happy And. Get it? Happy End? Happy And? A bright and bubbly delight. As is AKB48's Color Con Wink. Really gorgeous video. Lots of flowers, lots of big wedding day, grand finale energy to the performance and the song. Just all 100% celebratory, feel good, beautiful pink and white outfits, lots of greenery, really, really pretty. Brown Tigger came back with Ye Rip. The first half is faster paced. He goes for more slow R&B stuff in the second half. The first half, at least, is really around the world when it comes to its inspiration. It does feel like he took from all sorts of different cultures and countries and incorporated their sounds, so that's really cool. Another refreshing mixture of sounds in Helen Ju's Cool. Definitely the something different R&B and soul fans are looking for. From the talk singing delivery of Kiss to the fun unexpected synth layer in 501. She's kind of a cross between Saran and BB. Rhea Suda released Ray of Light, an EP with beautiful messages about seeing light in darkness, hope remaining no matter what, wanting someone's voice to be with you always, their presence with you, then the song fittingly called Turn the Page, all performed with her standout voice. Yena had a Japanese comeback with the pop-punk DNA, and she's sporting cute pink pigtails and this fun bright blue fluffy coat with it. Plus, we got the smartphone Japanese version as a B-side. Love to hear it. Hikaru Utada released a song, A Flower of No Color. Really poetic lyrics about the state of the world, as always, kind of in your head. What is real isn't real, like everything's kind of an illusion. But we can actually find some comfort in that the things of this world are not worth concerning yourself with. Focus on what's inside. It's quite philosophical. Kim Bum-soo released Journey, his first full album in a decade. He wanted to give this kind of a timeless appeal and the element of surprise, which he did, I think, with the understated pivot. He focused more on a simplistic beauty of certain songs and abstract inspiration. Not as lyric focused as some of his past work, although he did keep some poetry involved. That's how Aside starts, with a poem from Na Tae-ju. Woo-seok released Empty Paper, a set of two singles that find interesting ways to describe loneliness, comparing it to The Color Blue, and something you find solace in venting about via sketchbook, putting it on paper. So ready, pun intended, for Chunha's comeback. Given the new I'm Ready performance teaser video, we are in for a treat, fans of Dream of You, Stay Tonight, her more dance-ready eras. She really does look ready. Perfectly titled preview track. She rocks this super long braid, this cool eye makeup that looks kind of CGI or just like a filter, but I think it's just real physical makeup, at least partly. She does this cool acrobatic upside down choreography, but also just struts around like she's on a runway. A very, very agile dance routine, plays a leader and a follower at different times. Plus her setting keeps changing. Lightning flashes, a mirror filled place, kaleidoscopic visuals, lots of switch ups in the blink of an eye. This comeback is already so epic and it's an under 2 minute teaser. Now for the super, super lightning round. The guitar-focused direction of Somebody suits the group Aimers. It also suits Wee Eye, who went in that lane. Their same lane, just slightly to the side. Something new from them, but not too different, on Wave. Sean is a new, easy listening song, called Easy, that he co-composed and co-produced. 17 dropped the workout remix for Super, and member Soonguan released Dandelion. Mont released the IDGAF EP. Live band, live performance ready stuff for sure, especially Nara-chan's song. They are really just feeling themselves lately. There's a bit of a New Kids on the Block touch to You Are the One by OWV. Yang Donhua knocked it out of the park going for a rock song in Blackout. Chen has a new live concert album from his 2023 Polaris show. TWS dropped a video for BFF. Very cute, preppy, schoolboy vibe, of course. Nice choice for Emmy Noda to go acoustic for her best covers EP, Volume 5 song, Overdose. I love Lino from Stray Kids' cover of Love Me or Leave Me by Day 6, truly one of their best. Alala released Baby MVP, which is a compilation of their past singles, and I was most happy to see Bad Mouth and To the Top on there. Hyunjin teamed up with Max for Stupid in Love, very charming, and it deserves its social media fame. Speaking of Le Sserafim fans should really check out 1-5, the Japanese girl group, their latest stuff at least, like the Classy Crush EP. Two more J-pop recommendations, New Rise by Super Dragon and Sayaka Yamamoto's Nocturnal. And one more J-rock recommendation, The Sixth Lie with Shush. I want to share a couple, not really recommendations, I don't really care for them, but they're just so memorable, different, weird, that I'm just curious what other people think. So check out these videos if you just want strangeness, a what's going on, strange quality. Eye-catching videos I saw this month, Scion, Dirt Cheap, Sori Sawada, Simile, I Chillin', Demigod, and the JYP Entertainment supergroup song, Like Magic, which honestly, it's kind of cool, kind of not. I don't like being a huge fan of advertisement songs, and the instrumental goes off though. The amount of voices on it though feels a bit disjointed, unnecessary, so I have conflicting feelings about this. It is funny to imagine though, someone watches that video and doesn't find out it's an ad till they get to the logo at the end. Surprise! That is all for today. Thank you all for tuning in. Link in description and at 17caratkpop.substack.com to get in your inbox the corresponding write-up to this episode. Remember, if you're a paying subscriber, you get the honorable mention list too. But all of you for free get the top 20 and more thoughts about each. So thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you again before you know it. Bye, everybody.